Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Roll out the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there, hopefully sometime early tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right, Dan. Well, you know, we actually had quite a bit of stuff going on since we've been gone. Major League Baseball had a lot of action. We had you could call it a big free agent signing, and then we had a couple of, smaller type deals, along with the fact that the non-tender deadline came up. So a lot of interesting stuff, but let's jump on and, start with the trades because, the first one involves the Red Sox who, as we know, are in the midst of attempting to cut some, any kind of payroll. And they did move Sandy Leon, the catcher, to the Cleveland Indians in exchange for a minor league pitcher by the name of Adins Bautista. Leon gets – just $200 million off their books. So it's a start. Obviously, yeah. They got a ways to go.
$200 million?
Much in return. Sorry, $2 million. So just $2 million. Yeah, I was a little off there, huh? So, they get a couple million off their books, but, at least it's a start, right?
It's a good start, but I don't think it helps them really that much.
Yeah. and then the other trade, I was a little surprised to see the A's. I know there were rumors around the trade deadline about this, but the A's finally dealt Jerkson Profar. He ends up going to San Diego for a minor league catcher by the name of Austin Allen and a player to be named later. Now, I do know, Oakland has that prospect. I believe it's Franklin Berrios. So I guess this opens up an opportunity for him to play. It's a pretty solid move for San Diego. They did just move Luis Urias. They finally gave up on him. They dealt him to the Brewers about a week ago, and then they had Ian Kinsler and Greg Garcia. But I think Profar is a huge improvement over either of those guys, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
So, those were, a couple of the deals, and it's actually Franklin Beretta. Sorry, I thought for some reason it was Francisco, but I guess maybe they call him that. I don't know. And then the big free agent signing, I thought this one was kind of interesting. The Reds grab a guy. They go 4 years, $64 million to sign Mike Moustakas. I'm not sure how they're – I'm guessing – maybe he's going to try to play second base again because they have Eugenio Suarez kind of entrenched at third. So can you help me with the signing here?
What about first base?
Joey Votto.
Well, he can go to right field.
No, I don't think so. I think that would be a fiasco. So,
yeah, maybe Moustakas will go to the outfield or, like you said, play second base again. which I still think is weird for him.
So, yeah, it just seems strange that, I guess he did okay last year there for the Brewers. Let me see if I can grab his defensive stats really quick. I didn't think it was going to be a very good move for them, but, I don't think it was horrible. Come on, where are you at here? Fielding stats. There we go. He played in 47 games, started 40. He did only make one error out of all of his chances. He actually made 11 at third base, but obviously he had many more opportunities there. I just don't know, if his range is a positive thing. But I guess we'll kind of see. It does give them another 30 homer bat in the lineup, though. You like this signing? What do you think here?
I think it's a solid signing for them. They definitely need a bat, but what are they doing for the pitching? If they still need one more guy.
Yeah. So, obviously there's still plenty of time for them to come up and, make some kind of decision on that and, what they're going to do. And I just realized I did miss a trade because I forgot that this guy was actually placed on waivers. And the Orioles, they placed Jonathan Villar on waivers, so it gave them 10 days to, trade him, release him, or get him to agree to go to the minors. And instead they worked out a deal with the Marlins. They pick up a left-handed minor leaguer by the name of Easton Lucas. Villar had maybe the best year of his career with the Orioles. Was it just the fact that they didn't want to pay him because they're bad that they dumped him?
More or less. I don't think they're getting any better either.
Yeah. So, yeah, talk about a horrible rebuild. Yeah, we're looking at a guy. He actually played in all 162 games last year. Hit .274, 24 homers, which was a career high easily, and stole 40 bases for, just a terrible team. I'm just kind of under the impression they dumped him because they didn't like his salary.
I think so. They're not going anywhere next year either.
Or I guess they dumped him because they didn't like what he was going to win in arbitration, which is a lot of reason that, as we get to the next one, these other players got non-tendered. And obviously non-tendered means that they were headed to salary arbitration, but the team basically decided to not offer them contracts, so they become free agents. Now, the closest one here, of course, to us, Dan, the Cubs decided to make this move with Addison Russell. I kind of understand it because he was looking at an arbitration award of probably about $5 million, and I don't think they had a role for him. Obviously, Javi Baez is the starting shortstop. I would just assume you would have plugged Russell in at second, being the great defender he is, and just kind of hope he hit like he did a little earlier in his career, but apparently you don't do that in baseball anymore. You have to go out and get a second baseman who can hit 90 homers. Defense doesn't matter, and I guess they're counting on Nico Horner to take over. So Russell goes away, and oddly, the first thing I thought of when I heard the idiots talking about it yesterday on the local NBC sports show that your buddy Dave Kaplan hosts, I believe everyone that mentioned them referred to his 40-game suspension as baggage. But yet when Aroldis Chapman was helping the Cubs win the World Series, like Dan points out, nobody ever talked about his baggage. So it's kind of humorous how, it's one thing for one guy and it's another thing for another guy. So it was just kind of odd. But, you know, I know we talked about the A's making a trade. But would you be surprised if Russell ends up back there with the situation they're in, if they're going to go with a rookie at second? You know, he could be a really solid, you know, backup for that kid and then fill in it short if Simeon needs a day off.
No, not at all. And then, you know, oddly, the trade they made would work out for them again.
Now, I was kind of under the impression that the Cubs would go to arbitration with him and then try to deal him. Are you surprised they went this route where they're going to get nothing in return for, we're talking about a 26-year-old, shortstop who, again, is, you know, he's a gold glove caliber defender. And, you know, I know he had the one solid plate. I know he's not great at the plate, but, you know, again, you know, he's only 26. You never know what he's going to actually turn into. But yeah, are you surprised that they were just willing to kind of be like, hey, we'll go, we'll take nothing from him?
Not really. I mean, I think their arrogance got the better of them. And, you know, the other part of it, it could be claimed as baggage, but they also approached the situation 100% wrong. So, you know, for local media to talk about it as baggage, well, you know, that's because they can't be outspoken against the team because they don't want to lose their credentials. But I still think it's a failure on their end, and they totally trashed him and dogged him themselves and created absolutely no value for him in the trade market.
Yeah, no kidding. That was just incredible. I mean, incredible stupidity on the Cubs' part, the way that it was handled. There were, a lot of, I guess let's call them interesting names that popped up here non-tender, which was a little surprising. You know, the Phillies had a couple guys, they non-tendered not only second baseman Cesar Hernandez, but third baseman Mikel Franco. My guess is Scott Kingery gets one of these jobs. I would assume he ends up being the full-time second baseman. But, what the hell is this team doing, Dan? I mean, they seem to be creating more problems than solutions, and they're supposed to be a contender.
Yeah, you were breaking up at the beginning of what team, the Phillies?
Mm-hmm.
Because they have stupid money.
There is a passenger intercom.
Yeah, so. But Hernandez was really good for them last year. He hit .279 with 14 home runs. And I get Franco hasn't really worked out after, it looked like he was going to be a star. .234 last year with 17 homers. I believe he did make a trip to the minors as well through that. But, it's like, okay, well, I give it to you. You know, Kingery's going to fill one of your spots. You plug him in at second base. Does that mean they're counting on Odubel Herrera to return after all his? I guess we're calling it baggage now from last season, and he has to become their everyday center fielder again. And does this mean that they really have to press to make sure they land Josh Donaldson or Anthony Rendon so they have someone to play third base?
Big time.
Because I keep looking at, it just, it's like, okay, you just created so many issues here. I mean, they need bullpen help. Obviously getting David Robertson back and healthy will help them, but you still need help there. You know, you probably need another starter, depending on what Vince Velasquez ends up being. You may need two. So, but yet, you non-tender. Okay, I get it. You wanted to get off from under Franco. You weren't happy with the way he played. But, man, Hernandez was really good for you. you know, and again, I get it. He's not that, you know, he's not today's type of player. But, you know, he plays smart baseball. He hits behind runners. He showed good power last year like everybody does, you know, like everybody did last year. I think just about everybody set a career high in home runs. You know, obviously getting Andrew McCutchen back and healthy will help. But this seems kind of nonsensical almost, you know, because, again, you mentioned they had stupid money, but they didn't want to spend it on their own guy.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense why they would just let him go.
Yeah, so, you know, just you know, and you know, obviously, like, the one thing they mentioned is that his defensive metrics were bad. You know, you have to remember that at one point in time, defensive metrics had Andrew McCutchen as the worst center fielder in baseball. So, obviously, there was absolutely no truth to any of that. So, you know, again, it's just one of those things. You put metrics in a big pile and light them on fire because they don't mean anything.
Well, and don't forget, it was also during his MVP run.
Yeah. You know, because a lot of what happens with defensive metrics, Dan, and I don't know why. Well, I guess I understand why people don't write about it when they include it, because, like we always say, you don't want to ruin a good story. You know, you got to remember that it doesn't focus on where you're set to play by the team. You know, so if you're out of position, it's probably not your fault. It's probably where the team put you. So, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, here we go. So, yeah, his defensive metrics were bad. So, all right, then in this, now this is, you know, you have to help me with this here, Dan, because, you know, we both kind of, you know, we both like the San Francisco Giants. We like to see the team do well, and for some reason, they basically non-tendered their best player from last season, that being Kevin Pillar. He tied for the team lead in home runs with 21, and he led them in RBIs with 87. Also in stolen bases with 14, he hit .264. He's a Gold Glove caliber center fielder. But oddly, the Giants didn't want to pay him right around the $8 million that he was going to be awarded in arbitration. It would only be a jump of, you know, a couple million from what he made last year. You know, and, you know, I would love to scream, okay, well, they're rebuilding here, except for the fact that they signed Alec Dickerson, and they've got a starting roster that's going to be just as old, if not older, than everybody else in baseball. So help me out here with what the hell they're doing in San Francisco.
Eating too much Rice-A-Roni?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's just kind of... you know, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. I'm looking at it thinking, okay, you know, you know, again, I could understand, you know, the Cubs didn't want to take the chance and pay, you know, Russell what he was going to get awarded because, you know, they're looking at him just being a bench or a utility guy. But here, you know, we're talking about a guy who plays and, you know, is going to play 150 games and, you know, $8 million doesn't sound like too bad of a deal for a Gold Glove caliber center fielder who, you know, basically he's average with the bat, and, you know, so he's going to drive in some runs and hit some homers, you know, especially for a team like the Giants. Where are they going to replace? Who are they going to replace this production with, or where are they going to replace it?
Kobe Elsner.
So, you know, because I mean, I know obviously they said they wanted to get younger. So, you know, they were talking about, you know, I assume that means either Steven Dugar or what is it, Austin Slater will get a chance to play. But I don't know, you know, if that's an upgrade and, you know, if they brought, you know, Dickerson in or back. I don't know. I just don't get it. I'm kind of a little lost on where they're going here. You know, I mean, they did, you know, re-sign Donovan Solano, so they got that going for them. I guess they got their utility guy back, but, you know, again, it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't seem like they have a plan, be it rebuilding or not.
What, I mean, with the analytics guy kind of in the office, isn't it kind of confusing?
So, yeah, I'm to the point now where I'm wondering, you know, what his excuse is going to be or his reasoning is going to be. I mean, you know, obviously, I mean, they're, you know, they've got quality talent. I mean, you know, you got Buster Posey and Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford and, you know, if you can get Evan Longoria right, and you know, Yastrzemski was a nice surprise last year, but you know, it looks more and more like you're going to lose Bumgarner, so you're going to have to hope that, you know, Jeff Samardzija or, you know, Johnny Cueto can bounce back and, you know, lead that rotation. You lost Will Smith, so you need somebody to close. You know, I think they still have Tony Watson. I think he's about the only veteran guy hanging around in that bullpen because, you know, they dealt Melanson and Sam Dyson. So, yeah, it's kind of another confusing situation. I mean, I know they didn't expect to contend last year, and that kind of screwed them up. But you've got to figure out a way to challenge the Dodgers, and they're definitely not it, are they?
No. I mean, do you think coming into the closer role in the beginning of the season makes a difference for Tony Watson?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, and then, of course, you got to wonder if he's even going to be there by the time the season rolls around. You know, it's just one of those – one of those odd things, but, you know, he's the only guy looking that has any kind of, you know, any kind of closing experience. But, who knows what, how it works out, but, I guess we'll end up seeing. And then I know the other one, I guess I'm not hugely surprised by this one, but the Diamondbacks non-tendered a couple of guys, and one of them was your guy. They non-tendered Steven Souza Jr., who he never did play last year, did he, because of the injury? He didn't even get in a game?
I don't think so.
No, looking here, it doesn't look like he played going down their roster. So, yeah, they non-tendered him. And then they also non-tendered Tijan Walker, the pitcher who's recovering from Tommy John surgery. So they just kind of basically cut bait with a couple of their injured guys, deciding not to play them. You what?
But wasn't that kind of a waste of a trade then? What did they get in return then? Nothing?
Yeah, it was a waste of a lot of things. I mean, they... I get that, Souza appears to be injury prone and, just kind of one of those things, but, he was really good as a rookie, and yeah, I don't know what you're kind of looking at out of it. It's like, how or why did we make this decision or, what goes on? But I guess they just were worried about, investing the money. I know it mentions here that Walker got paid a little over $5 million to not pitch next year or not pitch last year. It does say he did pitch one inning last year for them. But I don't know. I mean, you know, luckily it turned out they didn't give up a ton to get him. They gave up Zach Curtis, Mitch Hanger, and Gene Segura. Hanger's been okay for the Mariners. Segura's now moved on to the Phillies. So, it's not terrible, but, there were big hopes for this guy. You know, I mean, a big right-handed pitcher who, you know, everybody thought was going to kind of develop into a front-of-the-rotation starter. And then, like I said, your guy, Pusa, did he win AL Rookie of the Year, or was he – I know he was in the hunt, but I don't remember if he won it or –
I'll have to look into that one.
And no, he didn't end up winning it. But yeah, he didn't play at all last year. He only played in 72 games in 2018 because of injury. But 2017 he was a 30 homer guy. You know, I mean, he's always shown power. Obviously, he's going to strike out a lot. That's what everybody does in today's game. But I think these were a couple of. Couple of surprising things. I don't think I was expecting to see like those two names on the list.
No, and you wonder if they wish they can go back and keep the guy they sent to St. Louis.
Who, Goldschmidt?
Yeah.
Yeah, would they have re-signed him as, you know, how all that fun stuff goes. But, yeah, it's just weird because, I mean, you look at the West now and it's like, are these teams even trying, to get close to the Dodgers? I mean, I just don't know. Arizona had a really solid year, and if, Walker was healthy – He could have been a big plus to that rotation. You know, they shipped off Greinke. You know, there's talk that they might move Robbie Ray. He would have been a perfect kind of plug-in to say, hey, let's go. Let's get him back in the rotation and, get things going. You get a guy with a little bit of experience. Luke Weaver was really good when he was healthy. The problem is he only made 12 starts. So, yeah, again, it's just kind of another baffling thing here on what the hell they're doing in Arizona now.
Yeah, well, I mean, are they throwing the towel already? Because looking at the 2019 standing, second place still put them 21 games out of first or behind.
Yeah, it almost seems like that's the thing. It's just kind of like, well, we're not going to catch the Dodgers, so let's just get rid of all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to deal with any of this. Let's just let them all go, and that'll be fine. We can say goodbye and hasta la vista and all that other stuff. And then the Brewers, and this is another thing. I don't know what the hell's going to go on with this team now. Obviously they won't get Moustakas back now because he's signed with the Reds. The rumors are that they're interested in actually dealing Josh Hader, so we'll have to see if we can get into that today. But they non-tendered five guys yesterday, and it's names we all know. It was Travis Shaw, Junior Guerrero, Jimmy Nelson, Alex Claudio, and Tyler Saladino. Not names that are going to jump off the plate. I know Nelson had been a little injury prone, but I really thought he was a guy they were going to count on to give them some innings next year. But obviously now it doesn't look like it. And Zach Davies was shipped off to San Diego in the Julio Urias trade. So yeah, we know Milwaukee isn't going to go out and make a big free agent signing, so they've lost, Grandal, who hit 28 bombs for him, and Stockus, who hit 35 bombs for him. you know, then they, you know, and I know Shaw had a down year. He was terrible. You know, spent a lot of the year in the minors, so you kind of expected that. Saladino was dinged up. But, yeah, I, again, help me out here. What the hell are they doing?
Are they banking on the Cubs not really being enough for them to win next year?
Yeah, but what about the Cardinals?
Well, I mean, I don't think you have to worry about the Cardinals. They're gonna be up top with the way this division is going. So, I think the Reds might bring a little bit of challenge, but I don't think it's enough to really bring them up to, you know, playoff wild card or even division.
So, yeah, you know, it just, you know, I mean, I don't know, you know, I mean, we're looking at, you know, okay, you know, you're saving some money. I get it. You're looking at, you know, Shaw was going to make about 4.7. Guerrero was at 3.5. Nelson was at 3.7. You get Claudio at 2.2, and then Saladino would have been awarded just about $1 million. You know, they saved $15.1 million, apparently. Do they try to sign somebody for that money, or small market team, do they just put it in their pocket and hope that, you know, they've got somebody in their minor league system that's going to fill in? So, yeah, I don't know where they're going or what they're doing here, but, you know, it seems like they've got, you know, quite a bit to replace. You know, I mean, Manny Pena's got Grandal spot behind the plate.
Well, and to be honest, I thought you were ignoring me, but I accidentally muted myself.
Oh, okay.
So, but what I was trying to say was, you know, you said 15.1, and then you're looking at another 10 or so, 12, so roughly 40 million that, you know, they kind of are saving without having Grandal and Moustakis. I don't know if I'm being lenient, you know, figure 15 roughly. Is that enough to save for them to? I think they really need to sign a top free agent pitcher.
Yeah.
So, you know, is that enough? Is that enough to bring in a guy like Gerrit Cole? You know,
no.
He was that close to a World Series. I don't know if he wants to go to a team that could quite possibly make it to the playoffs and then get mismanaged out because, you know, you'd rather all your starting pitchers go three innings.
So, yeah, I don't know. You know, because, you know, like I'm looking at, you know, like last year's lineup, Grandal is gone. Eric Thames is a free agent. Moustakis is gone. You know, Braun is going to be 36. So, you know, you don't know how much more you're going to get out of him. I mean, he was really good last year, but, you know, can he continue that? I mean, eventually those skills are going to decline. Yeah, I know you got Keston Hiru, who, you know, looks like the real deal at second base, but, you know, Arcia's never really hit as a shortstop. You know, he's a quality defender. You know, you just cut Shaw loose, so you don't really have a replacement at third base. You traded Trent Grisham, who was your top outfield prospect. You know, I get it. You can move Braun into first base. But where, you know, where are you filling out these other things? I mean, you're bringing in Julio Urias, but he's a second baseman, which you don't need unless Hiru's going to third and, you know, Urias is going to take over at second. Which, you know, I guess the possibility, but yeah, again, you know, and I mean, we're not talking about, nonsensical numbers for any of these guys. You know, I mean, like Jimmy Nelson at 3.7 doesn't sound like a terrible deal if he's healthy.
No, not at all. And you know, you keep saying that number, or that name with the number, and kind of knowing his history for the last couple of years. I mean, what team jumps out to you? What, not even what team, what GM / president jumps out to you that you think is going to try to be the smartest guy in the room and pick him up?
Well, you know, interestingly, you know, I think there's probably going to be a line for him. You know, I really think, you know, if he can show he's healthy, you know, I mean, we're talking about a 30-year-old veteran pitcher. You know, there's a good chance that there's going to be a long, long line of teams wanting to add him to the back of their rotation. You know, and I know, you know, I don't know if you're thinking about the Cubs, but you got to remember they just signed Jarrell Cotton. So they already grabbed their rehabbing guy that they're going to see if can help them. So I don't think they'll, been on that, but
you don't think they'll go for two?
No, I don't. I think two's asking a little much, you know, but yeah, I mean, there's so many teams looking for pitching, you know, and he could be, you know, just a quality fit as a three or four or five for, any contender or any team that thinks they're a contender. You know, this wouldn't surprise me if this is kind of like the A's kind of thing where they sign him for $2 million and he comes in and wins 15 or 16 games.
Yeah.
You know, that seems like the kind of things that the A's end up doing. You know, like, oh, yeah, we'll take this guy that nobody wanted and, you know, he'll turn around and win all these games. So. But yeah, there's still, I mean, there's a ton of names non-tender that, you know, we know. Kevin Gausman got non-tendered by the Reds. You know, he was a big-time prospect with the Orioles, kind of flamed out. The Astros non-tendered Aaron Sanchez, after he was injured. The Mariners non-tendered Tim Beckham and Domingo Santana. So the rebuild continues there. A little surprised to see the Twins non-tendered C.J. Crone, who hit 55 bombs in 2 years with them. But they sent him back in. The Braves are going to let their utility man Charlie Culberson go into free agency. So, you know, we'll see if they possibly bring him back. The Rays let Guillermo Heredia go into free agency. The A's non-tender, Josh Fagley. See what other names pop up here as I'm cruising down the list. Derek Law, who, you know, was part of the, was going to be part of the Giants rotation, got non-tendered. So who else? I don't think there's too many other big names. Kevin Smith, the Angels non-tendered Kevin Smith. Oh, the A's did non-tender Blake Treinen. And if you remember, he was their saving bullpen grace 2 years ago. Who knows what the heck happened to the guy last year, but he just exploded. 2 years ago, he went 9-2 with a 0.78 ERA in 68 games and saved 38 of them. Last year, he went 6-5 with a 4.91 ERA in 57 games and logged 16 saves. So, depending on which Blake Treinen you could get, you know, if you could figure out what he did or what possibly was off there, you know, you could get something there. A couple middle infielders, the Reds non-tendered Jose Peraza, which makes sense if they're bringing Moustakas in, and the Marlins non-tendered JT Riddle. So, you know, we'll see. The Nationals non-tendered Coda Glover, but he announced his retirement. So you don't have to, I guess you don't have to worry too much about that. But, yeah, those are just some of the bigger names that, you know, are now added to the free agent pool. So, you know, it gives teams a little bit more of a selection at least. You know, now, you know, I know we mentioned the A's earlier. They did sign Jake Diekman to a 2-year deal, so they'll keep part of that bullpen intact. You know, we'll see how that goes. But I wanted to go back to the Moustakas deal while I got you here, Dan. How odd is it that a Boris client came off the market in early December?
I'm surprised he's still with him, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, because Mike Trout, I don't believe Mike Trout's a Boris client. I could be wrong.
No.
So, you know, I mean, guys still get paid not signing with the guy who, you know, keeps baseball in business or whatever his slogan was for a week.
Yeah.
Or one season when everyone was talking to him and putting him on TV, and now we don't see his face anymore after the Jake Arrieta thing. But, you know, it's just, I guess I'm not that surprised. I think he learned his lesson by sitting out that 1 year. And what was the qualifying offer? You know, 14 plus, or I think it was between 14 and 16 million. And then he ended up going back to KC for 11. So he lost out on, you know, I mean, I guess when you're a millionaire at that point, you know, what's another couple million? But he's not definitely up in that echelon of, you know, the Mike Trout and Manny and Bryce Harper numbers. So, you know, that's pretty significant loss. And then to be stuck sitting out that entire offseason, I think he learned his lesson. And I don't think he's jumping at any team, but I think this was a good move for him because you're, you know, potentially with a playoff contending team if they can get that pitching rotation together. But like
you know,
said,
remember, you know, even last year, you know, he got stuck being one of the last guys to sign and got less money.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even realize that.
So
he got to play with one of his, you know, old, what do you call it, teammates, though, for World Series team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got his ring, so you've got that going for you. But, you know, I think that some of these guys have to realize just because that ring, you have that ring, doesn't mean, you know, the numbers are just going to be part of the issue. Your agent's kind of in your head going, well, you've got that ring and you've did this. You know, sometimes it's not all about that.
Yeah, no, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, like in the case of Jake Arrieta, I think that hurt him. You know, because Boris had him pumped up to be, you know, the Cy Young winner every year with whoever he signed with, and, you know, nobody bought. And, you know, in reality, I mean, you know, okay, I'll give you, he was injured and he tried to pitch through it last year. But even before the injury, he wasn't that good for the Phillies.
No. Well, and you've got to wonder how much, you know, when a guy comes out prior to the last year of his contract with the team he wins a World Series with and a Cy Young with and says, I'm not giving a hometown discount. Okay, well, you may upset the fans, but I think you're going to have a 50-50 split on the fans. You know, you're going to have a bunch of guys who, you know, a bunch of fans who are, you know, with him. He deserves the money, blah, blah, blah. And then you're going to have the loyalists who are kind of like, you know, this is the team that, you know, got you where you were. It wasn't the O's out in the East Coast. It was the Cubs. And, you know, you kind of did that. So you kind of owe them something. But I think it goes deeper than just the fan base where, you know, you become a numbers guy. You don't become a baseball guy. So I think it has a deterrent to a lot of other teams. And I think that's why there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, I think that's why, like, the Dodgers weren't going after him to sign him. You know, I think they realized, well, they also had, you know, their shortstop in the waiting because he was, you know, injured. But I think that's one of the things that even hurt Manny Machado was I think they really knew he was about the money and not really about the team. You know, because, I mean, if you look at even with the Royals, you put any one of those guys that won the World Series on a team just because they're not winning a World Series because of that guy. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, the agents, that's where they screw up, mainly Scott Boras, but he sits there and puts it into their head that they're the reason. And maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, fast-talking agents, you kind of they kind of have that reputation. And when you start putting that out there, one, I guess I can assume that because Scott Boras even put together an alleged 75-page binder on why you should sign Jake Arrieta. When at the end of the day, it's the team that wins the World Series, not one individual player, especially when it comes to baseball. I'll be back.
All right. So, yeah, you know, and then like I had mentioned a little earlier, you know, while we were talking about the Brewers, that they've had some considerations. You know, or I guess what was the term they used? They're listening would be the way to put it on closer Josh Hader. You know, apparently the Mets have reached out, you know, and like their offer was, you know, Edwin Diaz and I think J.D. Davis with a couple other players. It was basically like a 4-for-1 deal. I think the big issue there is I think Diaz's contract might be a little big for the Brewers. So the Mets would probably have to lay in some money. But, it, you know, just, again, another surprise with the Brewers here, you know, looking to, you know, even kind of listening on a guy like Hader. And I know, you know, every team will tell you, well, you know, we always listen, you know, you never know what's going to be there. And, you know, that's the BS they're going to kind of sell you. But, you know, this is more of an actual – These teams have talked. You know, I mean, there were numbers that have popped out. So, you know, it's kind of like, well, wait a minute. You know, you've actually discussed this, and there's, you know, what's the old saying? You know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And you know, you just got to kind of wonder. What's going on in Milwaukee here with all this? I mean, you know, it just seems a little weird that they're almost, you know, almost kind of tearing down this team that, you know, has been to the playoffs. You know, they went to an NL championship series a couple years ago, and it just seems like, you know, they're going to break it up or, you know, kind of move along. And I know they haven't given up any monstrous pieces, but, you know, it's, you know, the team is going to look much different than it has, I believe, you know, the last couple years. You know, and again, I was a little surprised to see, you know, Davies go, probably more surprised to see Nelson go. You know, and I better get that right. Davey's better been a guy than the guy that got sent to San Diego, because I'm trying to think if maybe I'm wrong and it was Chase Anderson. So I'll have to double check on that. But yeah, I you know, again, like I said, it's just kind of, you know, because we're not talking about guys who are going to make gigantic amounts of money. And I mean, even if they didn't want to re-sign Grandal and they got that, I think he made $18 million last year. And, you know, okay, Moustakas moves on and you get his, I think he was at like 11 or 13 or something like that. So you get that off the books. You know, what's the other big salary? They got Kane and Yelich and Braun is almost up. So, yeah, I'm not sure how, you know, how the team ends up being, you know, repackaged. I mean, obviously they continue to find ways to win, and they're still going to have Yelich, so, you know, they'll have that going for them. But, I just don't know how sold I am on these moves they're kind of making. And obviously, I mean, you know, if they wanted to bring a Travis Shaw back or a Jimmy Nelson, they could go and, you know, basically any team can bring any of these guys back. It's just the process of they didn't want to pay what it looked like the arbitration awarding was going to be. So, I can understand that. I mean, you know, like in the Cubs case, if they wanted to bring, you know, maybe they wanted to keep Addison Russell, but they didn't want to pay him the $5 million that it looked like he was going to be awarded in arbitration. So, you know, that makes sense. You know, like I said, any team can do that with any of these players that have been cut loose, so to speak. We'll just have to see if that happens. But, for the Brewers to even kind of consider moving Hader along is just kind of interesting. And I guess they still have Corey Knebel in their pocket, depend on if he's healthy. And I'm wondering if maybe the Brewers are of the thinking a little bit like Dan and I have mentioned. While Hader is a very good closer, we're looking at a guy who had 37 saves last year. He appeared in 61 games, but the interesting thing with Hader, he threw 75 2/3 innings. He averages more innings per game than any other closer. The year before that, he pitched in 55 games and went 81 1/3 inning. Now, he wasn't the full-time closer then. He was a setup guy. But I'm wondering if maybe overuse could be a concern that, you know, that we've talked about a couple times with the Brewers on the podcast here, with the way they handle their pitchers. You know, and maybe they're thinking, hey, you know, we're burning this guy out, we better move him while we can get some value for him.
Yeah, I mean, they're essentially asking to take full on a Joe Madden.
Yeah. So, because I know, you know, like I said, they do have Corey Knebel, who should be back next year. He was an all-star closer in 2017 before he had problems in 2018 and got injured. He missed all of 2019 recovering from Tommy John, of course, like everybody does. But I guess he's your backup option, you know, if you go that route.
He could be. I mean, before we run out of time, I just want to make this stupid conspiracy point that everyone's going to disagree with me on, but I don't care. You're looking at the downfall, so to speak, of Theo and his reign. I know I'm jumping topics a little bit, but I just had to put that out there. I mean, non-tendering Addison Russell, a guy that you backed 100%, you were, oh, this kid, and your whole crew. This just leads me to believe more so that Brian's going to be gone. And Theo's way of doing things, his loopholes that he was able to kind of jump through to make all the picks that he got, that system is gone too. So you've got to wonder how long before, you know, the golden boy, so to speak, continues to be such a hot commodity throughout baseball.
If he decides to leave Chicago, you know, I believe he'll get one more chance because, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people who don't realize that it's kind of went the way, you know, you notice where, you know, he can't do the things that he used to do. You know, I don't know if everybody has kind of caught up to that before or yet. So, you know, so he'll get one more chance somewhere. And then if it doesn't work out there, it'll be like, well, okay, what's going on? You know, how come you can't, you know, you can't continue to work this magic? And then it'll be exposed and he'll be done. So, but yeah, you know, like he did warn, I think if, I don't know if you remember, you know, if you remember after they won the World Series, he did mention before that the team would have to go through, you know, kind of what he, I don't know if he described it as minor tweaks, but it was just another way of saying they would have to kind of try to, you know, rebuild or reset or redo some of these other things, you know, and that's, you know, that seems to be where they are now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I guess it's more of a gamble, but I don't know. I think the foresight that, I'm not going to toot our own horns or anything, but I think the foresight that we may have had, you know, being able to cut your fandom out and your, you know, your my guy kind of thing, kind of cutting that out, I think that's what hurt Theo in the end and is going to continue to hurt him as long as he's with the Cubs.
Yeah, you know, you do kind of wonder, you know, how this works out. I mean, it's incredibly disappointing to me by the fact that they've won one World Series, but really that's the only time they've contended for a World
yeah.
Series.
You know, and
you know,
so
I mean, I really expected them. Right, I expected them to be more competitive.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was always my argument with Uncle Bob back when they started to crap the team out. You know, oh, you know, they're rebuilding. He was, you know, he could have just, Theo could have fed it, forced, you know, didn't even have to force feed him. Whatever Theo said, he was eating. And, I mean,
yeah.
You know, he's like, he's trying to convince me, well, would you rather a one-off team or a team that's going to continuously compete year after year after year in the playoffs? But they haven't. They got their one World Series,
yeah, that,
and then that was the end of it.
Yeah, you know, that's the toughest thing is, I mean, they won that World Series, and they haven't been close to contending for another one. You know, and now
no.
I get that the Dodgers haven't won one, but they've contended every year for what, the last 4 or 5 years? So what's better?
Yeah.
You know, I get that you want one. Everybody wants to win one. But, you know, I mean, is, you know, is it better to win and go away? And, you know, it's not like the Cubs did like what the Marlins did where they won it and then got rid of everybody. You know,
yeah.
The Cubs kept their group together. You know, and I mean, they made some poor free agent signings. You know, like Wade Davis was okay. Tyler Chatwood's been a bust. You know, obviously the farm system hasn't helped. You know, Yu Darvish is, you know, he's looking like he's going to be a bust. I don't think Jason Hayward has reached expectations. So it's, you know, it's been bad upper management.
Well, and do you think part of that too, like what you said about the minor league system, I mean, Chris Bryant was kind of an anomaly. But I felt like
yeah.
They just kept trying to do that. They just kept trying to, oh, you know, this kid, you know, now I can't remember his name now. The one that, you know, let off the seat, blah, blah, blah. But you can't, not everybody's a 1 year in the minors and MVP the next year.
You know, while we're going on the sports from radio.com, this is the new blog coming up tomorrow morning.
While you're doing hip hop, get on over to the Facebook page and get that invite. But don't forget the Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. Twitter looks good, and I don't know if that's Twitter.
Yeah,
it's